And you are listening to FOW Live here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. Danny, it is Wednesday.
It is. It is Wednesday, November 1st. Into the just past the Halloween and spooky season, as the kids say, and weather getting colder, finally starting to feel like fall. Here in the South, you know, I mean, some places by now have probably had many a snowfall already. But, you know, we just had a 50 some odd degree day and, you know, frost warnings, those kinds of things. But, you know, it's always a good time. The weather's always warm in the ring.
Yeah. Yes. And I guess we'll probably get some 70 degree weather coming up because, you know, that's Georgia.
Yeah. I think probably in the weekend or something, it's supposed to be back up to 70 again. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it is 70 degrees Saturday, high of 73 on Monday. So go back to the 70s, y'all. But hey, this whole climate change is not real and all that kind of stuff. It's all a hoax.
Yeah.
It sounds weird. I feel like I'm listening to myself, Danny. I don't know what you're using these days.
The same shit I've been using for years, sir. Just shouting into my phone.
I don't understand why new headphones work on your phone.
The pair I have, they're Bluetooth, and you know, I can use them to make phone calls. I listen to music, but somehow they, when using the Podbean app, they cut in and out. Or they maybe, just don't connect at all.
Maybe you should try that wired
gimmick. The ones I have aren't wired, and any headphones I have do not wire. Is this the only connection this bad boy has is the micro USB C or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Danny, you got too technologically savvy for like liking. Yeah. So okay. I'm not sure if we're gonna be here.
I don't think he will be joining us, unfortunately. So we can
best to go ahead and start with the Super Junior in case he does surprises. Right,
so I'm only on night five, as it's been last week was a very stressful week in the Danger household. Mm. So I'm still playing catch up. So I am actually currently watching night five. Okay. Of the Super Junior Tag League. I don't know if you've been following, if you've been keeping up with the matches or you've just been following along with results.
Both. I mean, okay. I don't know. When it comes to other, you know, everything outside of that, because I mean, other than the main roster, which is easy to keep up with, because what the heck do I do on Monday nights and Friday nights? But yeah, everything else is, you know, pick and choose.
So
right now, as it stands, we are on we just finished night four, so night five. What day are we? Today's the first.
I'm on night five, which was the 26th.
So not eight.
Okay, so they just did eight. Okay.
Yeah.
So nine will be the last night, and then we go to they go to the finals.
Yep. This Saturday.
They're just 10 teams, one block.
Right. Okay. So this kind of spoiled things, but not necessarily. Actually, still in contention.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. Okay. I will tell you who's beat who and whatever, but still in contention. El Desperado and Master Wato, who are leading the pack.
Okay. I thought they were going to kind of based on even where I'm at right now, they seem kind of like the, you know, the quote unquote unlikely duo. They start working together better and better. And, you know, I see them as finalists. I don't know if they'll win it, but I see them as finalists. Okay.
I mean, think about it. They've been able to. They've had some bangers, you know, and they've, you know, they've had some short matches. They had some long matches, but they've definitely been out there and doing their thing. So they're leading the pack, and then everybody else in contention: Sho and Kanemaru.
Okay. So House of Torture still in contention. Okay.
Connors and Deloney.
Okay. The War Dogs. Yeah. Okay.
Bushi and Titan.
Okay. Yeah.
Kushida and Kevin Knight.
Okay.
And TJP and Nikira.
And Francesco Akira. Okay. So Catch 22. Yeah. Okay. So based on where I'm sitting at, like I said, I'm still watching Night 5. My guess for the finalists would be Despy Watto and the War Dogs, just because I think the, you know, like it was, I guess it was their third match? Mm-hmm. Third or fourth match was the first time that the War Dogs had actually lost a tag team match. So I assumed they would do very well and possibly make the finals. Yet again, not sure if they'd win it as champions, but I could see them making the finals very easily. Interesting that Despy Watto is at the top and then everybody else is kind of vying for the second place.
Mm-hmm. So I think the main event of Night 5 is El Desperado and Watto against
the War Dogs.
Yeah,
because I'm just finishing the semi-main. Bushi and Titan just beat the Jet Setters.
Yeah. So yeah, quite surprising those two, right? I mean, I thought. Yeah. Well, I mean, Kushida is Kushida, right? So he's
yeah. Gonna be, well, the, you know, but the problem with Kushida since he's. Kevin Knight. Since he's been returned, well, no, what I mean, it's realistically, it's the other way around. Since they've, you know, last year's Junior Tag League, they struggled a lot. You know, they had been champions, and but they struggled a lot to determine it. It was mostly Kushida who was taking the losses or making the costly errors for his team. I mean, I feel like Kevin Knight's been really showing out this tournament. Takamichinoku showing the hell out too. Takamichinoku going hard in these matches. You think, you know, after 30 years, maybe he would slow down some, especially, you know, you're seconding Doki, you know, no, but Taka's going really, really hard. I mean, those are the two guys that are standing out for me, but yeah, as the Jet Setters, it seems that, the story kind of for the last year has been Kushida has been the one struggling. Since his time coming back from WWE, you know, he tried to add the story they were saying is that he was trying to add, you know, change up his game because, you know, when he left, he saw that the landscape of the junior division was changing. And then he went to WWE. And so he had to change his, you know, his style a little bit to match more WWE style. And now he's coming back with some kind of hybrid of those. And it's not quite working for him. So he's having to kind of find. You know, he's still trying, almost like he's still trying to find his old form, but you know, to put himself back as a contender and a possible champion. And so I think that's been the bigger story. And I mean, a lot of these matches, Kevin Knight's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say with Kevin Knight, like maybe initially you would have thought Kevin Knight might be the question mark for.
Yeah. Cause he's still young. He's kind of, you know, not long out of the dojo and stuff. Yeah.
But surprisingly so, like you said, like he's been stepping up a lot and his main tag team still being the running. A team I'm surprised only because, I don't know, Bushi always seems to be, the least, I guess, pushed member of Los Ingobernables.
Bushi's usually taking the falls and in the tag matches and these kind of things, but... Yeah, him and Titan are, I mean, they're working really, really well together as a team. Yeah.
They sure have. So we should see how it all ends up. Again, we have one more night to, you know,
decide the finalists and then you get the finals to win it. Yeah. And then more than likely the winner will challenge for the junior tag belts at Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're heading now in November. You know, we have our one more big show and then it's pretty much all roads lead to Wrestle Kingdom from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they got that big show in Texas.
I forgot the big U.S. show. Yeah, in a couple weeks. Yeah.
So yeah. So, but yeah, power struggle. I mean that's a big one. Will Ospreay defending the U.S./UK heavyweight title against Shota Umino. Takahashi defending his junior heavyweight title against Bone Soldier.
Oh yeah! I forgot Ishimori finally getting his match.
Yeah, and then you know you got Chaos and Tanahashi against TMDK for six man tags.
Yeah, Zach and Haste and Nichols. Yeah, I could see TMDK very easily taking those championships. I mean, the Chaos Hontai hybrid team has done very well. But I could see the trio of TMDK taking the never sixes.
Yeah. I mean they're like the best. The three best in the group. Of course, Naito is another getting their hands on each other in tag team action as Naito and Tsuji against Sanada and Uemura. A grudge match, Tangaloa versus David Finlay. Moxley's coming to Osaka to face off against the Great Okan. That's gonna be a banger.
That was supposedly the Great Okan had been wanting that match and Moxley was kind of ignoring him. And when Umino stepped up and said, I want a shot at Ospreay in your championship. Ospreay said, okay, I'll give it to you, but you got to tell Moxley to fight Okan. So that was kind of the condition upon Umino getting his title shot here at Power Struggle. I found that very, very interesting that he was like, okay, you got to tell your friend to answer Great Okan's challenge. So I thought that was kind of a cool way of doing it.
Yeah. All right, so now moving here, TK had a big announcement.
A very important announcement. No, I have not paid attention to see what it was. I feel that the Earth has changed, and life on this planet as we know it will never be the same. But I don't know what his important message was. No.
I'm scrolling down through the AEW Twitter machine, so I can see if TK's face shows up anywhere. So far nothing.
His dopey face and straight bus and haircut.
I mean, I thought I had bad hairdo.
Well, you do.
Yeah, I'm not sure when he made this announcement.
I mean, it was it? Did it open the show, or was it the final closing moments?
I mean, beats me. I didn't watch the show, so gotcha. Okay. Let's see here. 5 hours ago, we had a tweet. Tony Khan will make an important announcement for AEW fans worldwide. Okay, so I think if I continue now, the show...
Yeah. One would think that they would you know, reference or follow up what he said or something of that nature.
I see that he tweeted 2 hours ago. The show's live now. So... Okay, his Twitter doesn't have anything. Finding his announcements are like pulling teeth.
You think this would it, as important as this should be? You think it should be all over everywhere, right?
Yeah. Okay, Bryan Danielson, Claudio, yeah, Orange Cassidy. Let's see what else. This is awesome chance tweet by Tony Khan. What is your announcement, Tony Khan? Come on. Okay. So this is atrocious. Okay, so alright, so now we have ROH World 6-Man Tag Match coming up. Matt Jackson, so apparently Jackson's wrestled. Swerves, Hangman, apparently Hangman and the Bugs. Yeah, so the Mughal Embassy have won the 6-Man Tag Team title, the ROH 6-Man Tag Team titles.
On Dynamite, no less, not ROH yeah. Shows and Jacina. Yeah.
Okay, an update on MJF looking for tag team partners. Samoa Joe said no. Darby Allin said no. The Acclaim said no. All right. Oh, Adam Copeland is out here.
Okay.
Will he team up with Darby Allin and Sting at Full Gear? Okay, let's see here. August 25th, 24th, that's All In in London. Okay. Tickets go on sale.
Was that already?
I don't know. It just I'm just going through the things on the Twitter. It says, don't wait till December. You can sign up now for a pre-sale.
Okay.
I think that may be the news. Hold on. Let's unmute this video. Here we go. TK with Nigel.
Okay.
He's not even yelling.
All right. Well, you're muting that video. It's I can't hear you whatsoever, so I don't know.
So the big announcement, December 1st, is when tickets go on sale for All In London in next year, and people can sign up now to possibly get tickets.
Okay, so that was the important announcement, that they're going back to London.
Well, we already knew that.
Yeah, but they didn't announce a specific date or time.
They did. All In London August
20th. So the important announcement was just when tickets go on sale.
Yes, tickets are going on sale December 1st in time for the Christmas season.
Just very, very important announcement.
Major announcement for fans worldwide.
Worldwide. Like I said, it was going to change the face of life on Earth as we know it. And
Tony Schiavone would say,
the most important announcement in the history of our sport.
Ticket sale announcement in the history of our sport.
Whoop-de-doo. All right. Yeah.
So that's 5 minutes of my life I'm never getting back.
No. We apologize to our listeners who had to sit there and agonizingly hear us agonize over this. Let's move on to something else. That was, you know, disappointing at best.
Yeah. Okay, well, in the spirit of Jared not being here and disappointing, Matt Riddle.
Excuse me, how much did you just spend on groceries?
Sorry about that. My thingy went a little wacky for a second.
Yeah, if you could hear that. Kind of stuff you'd be watching, yeah.
Yeah, that was an ad pop up in a free app. I was double checking my calendar and it popped up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you were
doing.
That's
cool.
Your life, Paul. Matt Riddle has been booked for his first independent wrestling show.
Okay.
Since being let go by WWE. He'll be facing Rob Van Dam.
Okay.
For Big Time Wrestling.
Big Time likes to hire shady folks. They don't really care as long as they sell tickets.
I mean, they like booking anybody that will sell tickets. So
that's what I'm saying. They'll pay high dollar to get people for conventions and all this. They'll take those big risks where others may not.
And man, they've been proven to be able to to sell tickets.
I mean, it works well enough that they keep going.
Yeah,
it works well enough that they keep going. So why not? Yeah,
yeah. This is a some people may say this may be a dream match
for pot smokers everywhere. Yeah,
yeah.
The highest match you may ever see in your life, yeah.
These two guys are gonna go high in the sky.
Yeah. Before the match even starts, yeah. And probably after together in celebration. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no drug testing in Big Time Wrestling.
No. That's the good thing about the independents. There's no Big Brother monitoring anything, you know, until you get caught in a traffic stop or something.
Yeah. Excuse me. So in Ohio, of all places, March 9th.
Oh, so speaking of people making appearances over the weekend, Ronda Rousey made her first ever independent wrestling appearance.
Which has not turned into a match.
It was not a match, no. I thought she came out as somebody's mystery partner or something.
She came. She's done. She's
brawl going, or whatever.
Okay. So
I saw she has a match now for Wrestling Revolver.
Well, that's what she showed up.
Okay. I thought she showed up already as like a mystery partner. I thought she was just showing up to kind of hype her match. Okay.
I don't even know. I don't even know how she got it. I think
it was. I mean, it was unannounced. Obviously, there was no big. You know, she just.
Right.
I think she. She came out to help somebody or said, "Hey, I got a partner now, and here's my partner." I don't know.
Well, she's teaming up with Marina.
Yeah.
One of her best friends.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever she gets paid, it's gonna go to charity. So she's not doing it for the money. She's doing it for charity.
Okay, I see. I didn't know that aspect of it.
It's apparently. Cool.
I mean, yeah, realistically, yeah, making the money she was in WWE for the last several years, yeah, and her UFC money and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, she definitely is not hitting the indie scene for money. She's doing it to have some fun with some friends and try some new things, and you know,
I mean,
it's meet her some local, fans, that kind of thing.
Local, right? So, for her, so
I don't know where she lives. I don't know where anybody lives. I assume that.
I think she lives in California. Yeah.
Well, Wrestling Revolver is not in California. Wrestling Revolver is out of Ohio. That's Sammy Callahan's promotion.
I thought it was. They also booked shows in LA. I thought this was California.
Maybe not.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm assuming
they probably have done one or two LA shows. Maybe you're right on that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's why I was confused. She did show up at Lucha Vavoom.
Oh yeah, she showed up at Vavoom is where she made her surprise appearance. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then her match is booked for Wrestling Revolver.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, she's working there with Brian Kendrick, who's one of the guys who, you know,
helped kind of train her and stuff. Yeah, yeah, he's kind of there. Kendrick's kind of their off-site trainer that WWE likes to use for people who need a little more one-on-one rather than kind of the classroom setting of the NXT and the PC.
Right. So yeah, apparently it's something where I think what's his name? Sami Callihan was talking about because he's running LA at the show in LA, Unreal.
Okay.
So Wrestling World is going there, and
okay, so Wrestling Revolver will be in LA too. Okay, so that makes sense then. Okay.
Right. So yeah, so I guess Ronda reached out, whatever.
Yeah.
Says, hey, I want to do something for charity, so.
And they'd be you'd be a fool not to bring her into your company, especially if she's gonna be taking her money for charity like that. Those two things in itself are big, you know, big to draw people in and draw attention to buzz to whatever the hell you got planned.
Right. And Ronda Rousey, it's one thing for her to show up, right, and team up with her friend in the show unannounced, unadvertised.
Yeah.
This is not being advertised. Which
this is a big advertised thing. So it's going to sell tickets. It's going to move. Yeah, in theory, it's going to sell tickets and draw a lot of interest and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah.
So that's big, especially being it's the first true advertised show since leaving.
She never wrestled anywhere prior to WWE, so this is literally her first, you know, advertised independent wrestling appearance.
Right. So it's kind of crazy. I mean, but yeah, like I said, like she's a name that attracts people, and she's doing this for, you know, for charity and, you know, to work with her friend that she didn't get to work much with. You know, and so yeah, good for her. Ronda in the independence, who knew?
Who would have thought, right? I mean, even if it is just kind of a couple shows, a couple whatever, I mean, it still sounds wild just to think about,
back to speaking, I did want to bring this up. Speaking of New Japan, they did announce New Year's Dash for January 5th next year.
Of course, yeah. So pretty much it's kind of an assumption at this point, you know.
Yeah, but they've been changing it. Kind of ever since COVID, it's kind of like...
Well, that's true, but it just kind of depends where it's going to be, I guess, is more the bigger, you know, because for years and years, it had pretty much been in Korakuen. And then last year, because of the 50th, they wanted to go to the Ota Ward City Gymnasium one more time, you know, as part of the 50th anniversary celebration. So is it going to be at Korakuen or is it going to be at Ota Ward?
Of course you were going to ask me that. Let's see here. It's going to be in the Sumida City Gymnasium in Tokyo.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so none of the above
Exactly. Yeah. It's not happening at Kirk and not happening at Ota, not happening at Tokyo Dome. It's going to be in the Sumida City Gymnasium. Hey, listen. Maybe that place gave them an offer they couldn't refuse, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, of course. No, and it's probably somewhere they've been before, or maybe this is like the start of utilizing a new place, you know?
I mean, well, let's think about this, right? They can't, I mean, Wrestle Kingdom is like New Japan's version of WrestleMania. However, they because of the tradition and because of Tokyo Dome and everything, it's not like they can just easily go and say, hey, we're going to bid this out and go to different places every year and see what we can make money. But maybe they can do that with New Year's Dash, right? And it's like, hey.
I mean, potentially so,
Maybe the Tokyo Dome, but we'll get you, the second best option the day after.
Yeah,
let's see if we can, you know, we can make some money with this one and put out bids. I mean, as much as we were all tired and exhausted, at least I was. You showed me the pictures. It's still quite a show, and
absolutely, and it, you know, and usually, you know, I mean it. It's, you know, ultimately it's Wrestle Kingdom is kind of the end of the fiscal year for storylines. So, you know, long feuds come to a head, things of that nature. So New Year's Dash is used as the starting point. So here's what's going to be happening in the next coming year. So, you know, we saw while we were there, we saw the return of Jeff Cobb, who had been out for a few months. You know, Kenny Omega was there. Teaming with Okada, you know, so that was a big moment. But also we saw the formation of not one, not two, but three different factions, two of them officially and one that would officially debut as a faction a little bit later. But we saw, you know, TMDK with Zack Sabre Jr., you know, and Kosei Fujita coming in. And we saw the formation of then just four guys, you know, as they made their debut and made their announcement. And we saw the start of what would be Strong Style coming together. You know, so I think we saw a lot of things about what here's the direction things are heading, you know, for the next few months and for the remainder of the year. So I think that's some of the big stuff that it is. You know, you've had a lot of big returns and big shakedowns as, you know, people are on their way out, and that may be the last show they do, you know, like when AJ and, you know, left and things of that nature. You know, Kenny Omega getting kicked out of Bullet Club at New Year's Dash, and the return of Suzuki-Gun after they had been exiled and kind of forced out of New Japan for well over a year. So, you know, usually you can expect a few big things happening. So it's always an exciting show. It's, you know, we say Wrestle Kingdom's kind of WrestleMania, then New Year's Dash is the Raw after Mania. And it kind of sets the tone of what's going to be happening. You see new people come back. You see maybe new alignments, new factions forming. Even though it's, you're exhausted after New Year's, after Wrestle Kingdom and the excitement leading up to it, it's like it's still a very good and exciting show.
Yeah. All right. So that's cool. We got that coming up. Of course, also the heavyweight, the IWGP heavyweight tournament. All right. Other news. We got Gigi Dolly and Zachary Wentz getting engaged.
Okay. See, I had not heard that. Well, good on her. Good on them. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope this relationship for Zachary works out better than the last.
And same with Gigi.
For sure. Yeah.
Married and divorced already. Let's see if this one can have a little more length for her.
All right. Let's see here. So we had what's that show called? Halloween Havoc. NXT Halloween Havoc Night 2 happened this past Tuesday. And so we got some results here.
Okay.
The Creed Brothers defeated Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo in a spin the wheel, make the deal, tables, ladders, and scales match. By the way, the Creed brothers also making their main roster review on debut on Monday night against the Alpha Academy. Successful.
Wow, good on them.
You know, defeating the Alpha Academy.
Yeah, good on them.
So looks like the Creed brothers maybe, and they were with Ivy Neal in the Nile on Raw. So looks like they're
gonna excellent. The wow, together. Keeping the keeping Diamond Mine together.
Yeah,
cool. I like that.
So I guess it's just the three of them, right? Because I guess they got rid of the Damien Kemp. Is what they call them.
Yeah, well, they were kind of changing people out some, yeah. I mean, the faction essentially was kind of built around Roderick Strong and a bunch of people, and then they let go of all the other people, and or some of the other people. I mean, it was Stokely Hathaway and Hideki Suzuki and Roderick Strong, and all of them are gone. And, you know, then it was just, well, then for a while it was just kind of Roddy and the Creeds, and Ivy was kind of doing her own thing, and she was supposed to be kind of training the new recruits coming in for Diamond Mine possibly. And, yeah, then everybody else just kind of got shaved off, which I mean, it's fine, you know, at this point. Yeah, if it's just, you know, I mean, you don't even have to call them Diamond Mine anymore. You can just, you know, the Creeds and, you know, their coach, manager, Ivy Nile, you know, and eventually Ivy can transition into wrestling as well. You know, I like them as a unit. I think they're really good. I think they have a lot to offer.
Yeah. Dom Dom defeated Nathan Frazier to retain the North American Championship. Nathan Frazier looked really, really good in this match. Unfortunately, that... He still looks so small and looking really small next to Dom. Who, I mean, he's a bigger guy, but still, he's not
wrestling big. Yeah,
yeah. So I was like, yeah, I think, you know, they'll probably ask Nathan first to build some muscle before they look to move him up to the main roster. Yeah, but I mean, you saw what's his name, Balor student, McDonough. You know,
yeah.
I feel like he put on some muscle weight for moving up to the main roster.
Yeah, it definitely looks like he did. Yeah, because when they first started showing him, you know, when he was first there on part of NXT UK and then moving into NXT, he looked very, very small. I mean, he's still kind of short, but yeah, like you said, he definitely looks like he's heavier, packing some more power.
Yeah. Braun Breaker beat the crap out of Mr. Stone, and then we had the return of Von Wagner. Still, you know, with a head bandaged, you know, from Braun's, you know, horrible attack on him with the steel steps.
Oh yeah, like trying to squeeze his brains out his nose. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So it looks like we may be getting Braun versus Von. Soon enough. The women's tag team champions defeated Tia Hale and JC Jane to retain the tag titles. So here you go, Lola Vice defeated Kalani Jordan to win the women's breakout tournament.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Electra Lopez going from being in the corner of
Legado de Fantasma, yeah.
Yeah, to now being second fiddle to Lola Vice, but hey.
I was very, very disappointed that they did not take Electra up to the main roster with them. But I mean, they're not really up on the main roster anyways. They're just, sadly, Legato's just kind of the backup dancers for Rey Mysterio and
Carlito.
And now Carlito too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who's next? Savio Vega?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Savio did show back, up at
bring back Hooven too.
No, just the Puerto Ricans, I think, at this point.
But they can all be but it's Latino, not just Puerto Rican world order.
Yeah. All right, and Ilja not versus NXL, Carmelo. Okay. Yeah. Versus Carmelo 3.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Melo missed again. He's got to work on his aiming a little better, apparently.
I mean, yeah, he's finding a little slump in his game, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like there's going to be trouble between Carmelo and Trick Williams.
I don't like that they're playing this game, okay? I feel they're very, very good as a unit. I feel you can keep them together as a unit. You know, they don't have to be a tag team. I mean, you can keep them as kind of like DX, where they're two singles guys who have singles, you know, careers and goals and possibly titles. And then they just come, you know, but they're always kind of in each other's corner and helping each other out. And if there is tag matches, they'll be there for each other. But you know, we can't have nice things. We got to split everybody up. So there we are.
Here we are indeed. So a great match though. I mean, this, the only match that went over 15 minutes, but no match went over 20. But yeah,
I mean nothing. I mean, you can't, if you don't go over 15, bro, you ain't getting more than 3.5 stars. I hate to tell you. Okay.
Yeah. But definitely, you know, you had the crowd super excited, and yeah, that was show. So, but there was a big fight, boxing fight, this past Saturday at in the Great Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, in this new arena that got built. And
okay.
So
why are we talking about boxing in Saudi Arabia right now? What does it have to do with
wrestling?
You're not getting there fast enough. I'm impatient, man. Come on. We're here to talk about wrestling.
The chairman of TKO Group Holdings was in attendance.
Okay.
You know, sporting a cane.
Okay.
And no mustache. No, he shaved the mustache. Uh-huh. I'm assuming he brought the cane because with him was the Undertaker, and you know, every time that you have cane, anytime you have the Undertaker, you need cane next to him. You know, get it, cane.
Yeah, no, I do. That's why I was over here groaning and rolling my eyes.
I think he had some type of surgery recently.
Hip or prostate or something you get when you're in your 70s, right?
I don't think prostate surgery would require you to wear a cane.
I mean,
maybe the hips.
It might help make it difficult to walk, depending on how recent your surgery was, sir. You might want a cane for support.
I guess. I'm not there, so. All right, but he was okay. So it was Vince McMahon and the Undertaker.
Just there representing.
Well, yeah. I mean, they wanted to see the big fight, right? And they're gonna be there a month later, a week later. Yeah. So yeah. They were asked about Vince's relationship with Dana White, how everything goes, you know, and
yeah. Well, Dana says it's going cool. He says Vince is horrible to have against you, but he's good to have with you. That's pretty much what Dana said. He's like, yeah. Dana's sitting here saying, I hated the guy. He was a pain in my ass. He said, but now that we're on the same team, we're working toward the same goal. He said he couldn't be nicer. He's happy to have him and be working with him.
I mean, think about it, right? Who had that relationship with the Saudis established for years?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And all of a sudden,
I mean, the Iron Sheik, and you know, you had a Sheik Adnan Al-KC, and you know, Abdul the Butcher. I mean, all these guys that you know Vince was so good with, and then you know, you had Sarge kind of defect to the Middle East, and you know, so he was already you know well versed in, of course, a native English speaker, an American. So you know, he was able to kind of then later. You know, bridge that relationship as well. So it was just kind of a natural go.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, when asking them, you know, we're talking about Dana White, one thing Vince McMahon said, I mean, because Undertaker said they're both great businessmen. Vince McMahon made sure he had last word when he said, but I am the better businessman.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, think about it, right? Both of them heads, the heads of their, you know, own you know, companies.
Respective and,
you
organizations, know, yeah.
Who is in, you know, but who is the chairman of the combined organization, right? I mean, I'm sorry, but I think CEO
I mean, Vince has been in business chairman. Longer. I mean, Vince took the company from the ground up. Dana White was essentially, that Dana White's not the, you know, the owner founder of the UFC. He was brought in much later. To kind of help, you know, run the operations and definitely help bring it to the heights that it is now, you know, with the creation of the Ultimate Fighter show and, you know, I mean, having these pay-per-views so frequently, they're having multiple per month and, you know, these kind of things.
ESPN.
But yeah, all these things. And UFC actually be taken, you know, somewhat more seriously. I mean, when UFC first started, it was kind of seen as this spectacle, you know, guys were... Some of these guys were little more than bar fighters and street fighters, you know, going out there in karate pants and just kind of swinging wild and stuff. So he helped, you know, legitimize it to an extent and bring it into the popular culture. So he's great. Yes, he is a great businessman, but, you know, he's been doing it for 20 years where Vince has been doing it for, you know, twice that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, all credit to Dana White for everything that he's done with the UFC. But
yeah, absolutely.
Let's also not forget though that you know he put all his time, but you know his two of his best friends, the Fortita brothers, are the ones who put up most of the money.
Yeah, right? Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Dana was brought in. He's not. He didn't. It's not his company. He didn't start it. He didn't found it. He didn't take it over and, you know, he took it in and transformed it. But yeah, it wasn't mostly his money.
It wasn't all his chips. I know. But
he was, he's Eric Bischoff to Ted Turner, basically.
Pretty much. But hey, you know, it worked out for him, you know, and he's the CEO of, a part of a $21 billion conglomerate TKO group holdings. But yeah, so and also talking about this new area, this new arena, I think it's called the Muhammad Abdu Arena.
Okay.
In Raya.
About how many people does it hold? I mean, does it hold more than where they've been running in Saudi Arabia?
22,000 people.
Okay.
Yeah. It is how many holds?
Okay. Doesn't seem as big as, you know, stadiums here in the U.S., brother.
Not necessarily, but I had the wrong arena, so no. Kingdom Arena is a new arena that they've created.
Okay.
I don't know how many people that thing holds, but it's huge.
Gotcha. I know that. Okay.
But yeah, when asking them about Saudi Arabia and this place, Vince McMahon said this is our new home. People, a lot of people took that as to say, like, this is the new home of Saudi Arabia, is the new home of WWE.
I think he meant the new home of Yeah, that's what. Yeah, the new home of events in Saudi Arabia will be that arena. Yeah, he's not moving the company to Saudi Arabia. No, sir.
Yeah, a lot of people started freaking out. I'm like, I don't think that's what he means by this is WWE's home. Because, yeah, no. But I think people just needed, what do you call it? Something
they just to like freak something out to about. Complain about. Yeah.
Yeah, but Rhea definitely, you know, Rhea, the place, you know, that is home for the WWE in Saudi Arabia. I mean, definitely, it seems to be a nice place where people can, you know, make for tourism and to come.
Okay,
and
cool.
Definitely be entertained and get taken care of. And obviously, almost every celebrity you can name of was there. For this big boxing match. So, yeah, I think they're really having that great relationship with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. You know, it might do them well. I mean, again, there's a lot to say about the Saudis and how they make their money and how they treat their people. But, you know, I mean, look at what they've done, right, in sports and entertainment period where they – you know, not trying to praise them, but I mean that they've taken all this money and trying to make their image, you know, even though their humanitarian image is not the best, they're doing their best to hide that. And, you know, they've taken over with wrestling, now mixed martial arts, golf. You know, before you know it, they'll start their own football league.
I mean, they might.
I mean, when the LIV, the golf company they started, first came out, and I remember PGA saying, any of our players go over there, they can't play for PGA any longer. And then it was 1 or 2 years later, PGA and LIV formed a partnership to work together because PGA realized,
you know, it's a lot of money to be had. You don't leave that money on the table. It's a business.
People are going to, yeah, people are dropping us for them.
Yeah.
So here we are.
In business, your politics only stand as long as they're making money for you.
Absolutely. And for WWE, it's one of the things that got them through the pandemic, right?
The Thunderdome and the Saudi shows.
Yeah. All those Saudi shows in 2018 and 2019 before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Gave the WWE that cushion that they needed to be able to just get through the pandemic and not be able to. So, I mean, even to this day, they're not touring, but what, 4 days a week, you know? You know, they're only on the road, I think, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Mondays. I don't think they do.
They give people off days middle of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. Where before they would only give people 1 day.
Yeah, you get like 1 day a week. One, maybe 2 days if you were lucky. Yeah.
Yes, but now no, they do less shows. I mean, but yeah. So here we go. The Crown Jewel is happening this Saturday. I'm assuming this Saturday will be in the afternoon.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, usually is. Yeah.
Yeah. So. In no particular order, Sami Zayn versus JD McDonagh will be kicking off the pre-show.
So I yet again surprised Sami Zayn will be there in Saudi Arabia, but here we are, right?
I mean, the fences were mended, right? I mean, and here's the thing, right? I want to say Sami Zayn, I think, is a man of principle.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be where he's not wanted. He's not going to be somewhere where he feels like will go against
his beliefs. Feels uncomfortable or something. Right. Yeah, something goes against his beliefs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, changes had to have been made. You know, where I think, you know, Saudi Arabia did come to terms with
with Syria. Yeah, Syria, worked out some kind of a peaceful agreement.
And that's kind of like what opened the door for Sammy. And look, Sammy got that standing ovation at that last show they were in.
That's true. Yeah, when he and Kevin were there together.
So him being able to be back, that's good news. I mean, that gives promise that, you know, despite what we see going on in the world, that, you know, as other countries are going to war against each other, that other countries can find something to get along with.
You can find some kind of peace if you work hard enough towards it.
Yeah. All right. Io Sky will be defending her Lily Women's Championship against Bianca Belair.
All right. That should be a really fun match, yeah.
Do you think Io retains here? I don't know. Bianca, I mean, you don't want to bet against Bianca.
Well, no. You don't want to, but, you know, I think Io's on a good, strong run.
That is true. And she's going to have Bayley and Dakota Kai in her corner, so, you know, who knows
what
she'll end against Will Cortez.
Could be brought. Yeah, it's true.
The GOAT, John Cena, will be facing off against Solo Sikoa.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, the GOAT is going to be taking the new kid to school. We've seen Super Cena, right? I mean, this is not the same Cena that we had 10 years ago.
No, he's definitely out to help the kids and not push everybody else down right now, yeah.
So, we should see how this one goes. Cody Rhodes facing off against Damian Priest. Of course, Cody with that, you know, bat foot after Damian almost destroyed it 2 weeks ago. But, you know, Cody's story still been written there.
Still waiting to find that final chapter. So is the money in the bank on the line in this match?
No, it is not.
I don't know.
No, that would have been a neat thing to do, but no, I don't think they're going to put that thing up. Okay. Here's my thoughts on Damian Priest. You know how at first, I don't even remember what we're talking about, that Judgment Day probably breaking up. My money was always Finn Balor's going to be getting booted out of the club.
Yeah.
I kind of
think they're going to boot. You think they could boot Priest now?
I think Priest. Think about it. He's going to, let's say he fails in his attempt to cash in. Then they lose the tag team titles or something. They're going to blame Priest. I think it was a couple of weeks ago where like Rhea was blaming Priest, you know, while she was out.
Doesn't have to mean that they kick him out. It doesn't have to mean that he splits, but right now he seems to be the most likely one to leave.
Yeah, and think about it. You know, they're literally so high on him after, you know, him working with Bad Bunny and whatnot.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, if they at least hire somebody, they're like, okay, let's see how far we can push him. Give him a babyface run and see.
They usually want somebody by themselves as a solo guy, not part of a group. Yeah.
And if they want to continue to keep, I mean, they're building, you know, they're doing such a great job as a heel group, you know, and you still have, you know,
but Dom, they're still wildly supported, though, too. Yeah.
And you bring JD McDonough to the, you have other younger guys that you can build where it's like, okay, Priest, we don't need to build you anymore. You go be a babyface and see what you can
do on your own. You're built as much as we wanted you to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could see that organically happen, though, you know?
Okay.
So interesting there. So we'll see what happens. Rey Mysterio is going to be defending the United States Championship against Logan Paul.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think Ray Worry will retain, but who knows? I mean, they like, you know, they like Logan Paul.
Yeah, and he wants to be, you know, he wants to be there. He wants to get better. He wants, you know, he keeps talking about how he wants to be there more frequently and more regularly. And, you know, I mean, having a championship also doesn't necessarily mean he will, you know, given we saw, you know, given some of Brock Lesnar's championship reigns where we wouldn't see him in WWE for a couple months and he was the champion. But, you know, most would think that if you're holding a championship belt, especially a secondary title, that you would be in the company more frequently wrestling.
But yeah, I mean, and you know, who knows, you know, putting the belt on Logan Paul would give exposure to, you know, maybe a lot of fans who watch whatever Logan Paul does outside of the WWE.
Help kind of cross over and see if he's a champion there. Oh, maybe that means he's really giving it a real try, and maybe I should see what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about this, right? I mean, Logan Paul, you know, usually after a post-fight, a boxing fight, you call out your next boxing opponent or whatever.
And what
he did is he called out a WWE wrestler for a WWE wrestling match. It's something that's, you know, quote-unquote predetermined. And you know, it's just kind of like, you know, I mean, you're giving that exposure.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
To boxing fans and to fans who, you know, who watch, you know, who are, you know,
whatever
Brazilian YouTube followers of Logan Paul who don't even like boxing, but they just like Logan Paul.
Yeah, they like him, so they follow what he does, regardless of where it's going. Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah, interesting. I mean, can you imagine Logan Paul wins the United States Championship and then he wears his United States Championship to his
out to like his next boxing fight or something? Yeah,
I mean, it you know, it's just advertisement. You know, it's free promotion.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's one thing that the Paul brothers are great at is promotion, self promotion. Yeah. And I'm like, why not? What to do? All right. Next up, Rhea Ripley will be defending her Women's World Championship against Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, and Raquel Rodriguez.
All right. Well, you know, Nia Jax has hurt all three of those women, so hopefully she doesn't hurt anybody more permanently during that match. I still am kind of baffled as to why they decided that it was a good idea for her to do the bonsai drop when she's proven to be kind of a little careless and reckless. Let's go ahead and do a move where you drop your entire body weight on somebody. And you could possibly land on their head or, you know, crack their sternum or something very, very easily when you weigh so much more than the person you're falling on. You know, so here she has. She's heard people doing the move, you know, hit people on the fucking head and crushed, you know, landed on them too fucking hard. So, I mean, hopefully she doesn't hurt anybody else. That's my big takeaway from the match. Hopefully the other three girls walk out of it still fucking healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than that, it's going to be quite a slobber's knocker. Do you have a... I mean, I think Rhea Ripley will retain.
I think Ripley she retains. Done
a great job.
Yeah. Of the challengers, though, I actually would like to see Zoe Stark get the opportunity as champion. If you're going to do a title change, I think Zoe's shown a lot. You know, in her brief time in WWE, you know, in NXT, she kind of wowed some people. You know, with some of her moves and what she was doing and, you know, kind of being there against Becky and, you know, siding with Trish Stratus and stuff. I think she got a lot of people paying attention to what she's doing. And I think she, you know, she's very young. She's young in wrestling. I think she has a lot of room to grow. And I think she still has the ability to show a lot of people what she can do. You know, I don't think she's gotten to her full potential yet. So... You know, of those three challengers, yeah, she'd definitely be the one I would want to see get a title opportunity. I mean, I don't know if she's necessarily ready to carry it for a long time and have a lot of high-profile contests and stuff yet. But I could, you know, I could see her having it and holding it for a little bit, even if it was just to kind of drop it back to Rhea in a singles contest or something, you know, a month later.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I particularly would like to see Shayna with it and have a good run. But yeah, I think there's, you know, you could go either way with it. All right. So where are we here? Roman Reigns versus LA Knight. Yeah. For the undisputed Universal Championship.
I mean, huge for Los Angeles. I mean, his popularity has pushed, has found his way into a championship opportunity despite his win-loss record not being very strong. Yeah, I don't think he's going to win it here, but I mean, hell, stranger things have happened. Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I don't think Knight will take the title.
No.
However, kudos to him to get to where he's gotten, right?
Absolutely, kudos, yeah.
Kudos to him to go from a guy who was wrestling in NXT, got brought in the main roster as a manager because that's where Vince McMahon saw him at his age, and because he's very good in the microphone, to be giving a second chance at wrestling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is definitely his, you know, his big opportunity. Hey, you know, you're against our big, you know, you're against our champion, our biggest star at a huge show. You know, let's see what you can do. If you can perform here, if you can do, you know, do well, then, you know, won't necessarily be the last time that you see the championship and that you see a top, you know, a top profile match and stuff. So this is very much the a proving ground style thing for old Los Angeles there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that going forward, I mean, right now report is that this is last Reigns match for the year.
Okay.
So that's interesting because I was thinking maybe they would have the Bloodline.
Yeah.
Some kind of, but no, I think maybe
multi-person maybe match or something. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe we'll see Jimmy, you know, representing, you know, SmackDown on like a Raw versus SmackDown thing or something like that. It'll be interesting to see how that works. All right, and Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship.
I mean, it could go either way to either guy. You know, we got Drew kind of as a heel now. And the popularity of Seth Rollins definitely winning out to making him a babyface type character. I mean, honestly, I could see either guy going. I could see this being either way. But you know, Drew is a babyface, broad intensity and brutality. I think Drew as a heel is going to bring that to a different level. But yeah, I don't. I mean, to me, this is kind of a hard one to pick. I realistically could go either way.
Go either way,
and I think the fans would be happy. You know, I think the fans are gonna. I think the fans are gonna really enjoy this match because they've watched both guys grow so much the last several years and become from kind of mid-level guys to being top level players and main event players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that will be it's gonna be an interesting match because I mean Drew obviously you could see him with the title and Drew didn't get that title run, you know, that maybe some people thought he deserved. I mean, he was the the COVID era champion.
Yeah, yeah, he was the guy who held it down during COVID. Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he does. Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe there was a chance that he would have done it at the castle. Of course, that wasn't the fact. Now he's against Rollins. We thought maybe Rollins would have dropped the title to Nakamura. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
So does he do it against Drew? Do we see a title change, a big title change like that in Saudi Arabia? Do we give that to the Great Kingdom of Saudi Arabia? I mean, there's so many different things. I mean, they could do. Rollins obviously doesn't need the title, but I mean, how many times has Rollins had to like lose a title match? Maybe they want to give him a bigger run, but does he really need it? Right? I mean.
Yeah, his popularity doesn't require it, but I mean, yet again, you can't have, you know, if a guy goes out there and loses enough times, like eventually the fans are going to stop caring, you know, regardless of how popular he may be and how fun and interesting the character may be. If you go out there and you keep losing, eventually the fans are going to kind of tire of you because they'll be like, oh yeah, he's cool and all this, but then he goes out there and he fucking loses. So they feel like they don't want to invest in you if they're not going to get a return on their investment.
Yeah. So that is the show, the crown, the crown jewel. I almost called it something else. On Saturday, and that will be followed by Survivor Series, which I guess they won't do worry about until next week. We're going back to Chicago for the Survivor Series, and apparently somebody asked CM Punk if he would be at Survivor Series this year, and he said, I don't know, I hear it's sold out.
He knows better than to turn down rumors that are beneficial to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's done anything or not, you know, keep that interest going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep people excited and guessing and wondering and wanting and, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. So I was wondering why they keep doing that we were seeing less of the Viking Raiders. And I know I have seen a couple of single matches with Ivar.
Okay.
And so apparently the reason why is because Eric of the Viking Raiders was injured and had to go get surgery. And he's C6 and C7 neck.
Nice.
He had fusion surgery. So.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, Rose had a long, rough road in wrestling. He's, you know, I mean, he had that motorcycle accident that, you know, really did a lot of damage to him that almost kind of ended his wrestling career. And, but yet again, he kind of kept pushing through and persevering, and, you know, him and, you know, Eric and Ivar both, you know, not looked at as guys who would have gone to WWE, you know, for their size or their age or, you know, their look or whatever, but they've made it work and they've kept pushing on, and making it work. And, you know, I mean, I love them as a team, but, you know, yeah, they're definitely not the prototypical WWE wrestlers. I mean, you know, best of luck and hopeful on a recovery. Can, you know, that the team can come back at full strength. Because I mean, I do think they are a really good team, and I do think they have a good place in the division. You know, as these big crusher bruisers, they can go up and down the division. You know, they can be just kind of working there to help, you know, just to wreck in jobbers, or you can put them in really strong title matches and these guys could convincingly win the belt at any minute, you know, at any championship opportunity they get. So I think that, yeah, they're definitely definitely one of my favorite acts in WWE.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I always loved the Raiders, no matter where they were, no matter what they were called. Yeah. You know, you're going to get great performance out of both guys. And, yeah like you said, you know, I mean, their signing was maybe a little bit surprising to some, but, again, at the same time, at that time, the league was signing anybody and everybody, right? Not That's to say true, that yeah. they didn't deserve it because
they definitely but there were a whole lot of people being signed that would in years past would not have had the opportunity.
And not any fault of their own, but you could have even said thought the reason that hey maybe they really would have dropped him any time, but they never did.
Yeah, right. They didn't, and they let him get repackaged, and they let him you know do what they needed to do, and they gave them you know they gave them a manager and the big entrance gear and all this kind of stuff, and they've done a lot to help push these guys.
Yeah, and it looks like they were going to be entering a program against the New Day, but obviously the injury got that short. Now we see Ivar in a singles action, though, as he's going to be competing this Monday for a number one contendership against Gunther.
Interesting. Okay.
He's going to be a title eliminator, Fatal 4-Way.
Okay.
So,
I mean, if you put him against Gunther, I mean, that's you want. I mean, those they'll beat the holy crap out of each other too. Goodness.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's hope that is what works out. For them. But yeah. That's all that I got for today. I don't think anything else super exciting has happened. Of course. You know, TK may have another announcement.
Oh yeah, I mean, we might have something. Holy goodness, yeah. Only if the world could handle another one, you know, so soon.
Yeah. But who knows?
It is now the month of WrestleCade, you know, so we can start our official countdown to WrestleCade this year. Trying to think of what else is coming up this month. Of course, Action will be doing their first PG-13 show at a place that will serve alcohol. Trying some new talent and a couple of new things as well that they haven't done in the past. So some big steps for them.
And speaking of Action, they're going to have their championship defended in another promotion for the first time this Friday.
Yeah, it's Southern Honor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Adam Priest versus Ashton Starr. For the Action World title. A lot of big things there. You know, now that you know, I would say they mended fences because I don't think they were never issues, but it did feel like for a while
they were they definitely felt like they were kind of competition at ends, even though there was no like strong animosity, you know.
At first
Southern Honor just likes to view everybody else's competition and the enemy until they can talk stuff out, I guess. That's kind of Southern Honor's way.
And Sunny Day is going to be making his debut at Action at the bar show also. Yeah. So, again, more cross-promotion between the groups. Good to see that. Not always you see, you know, different companies within
the same area, like, working together. As opposed to just using similar talent, you know.
You had the good old boys bind together, but you know, nobody ever accused Matt of being a good old boy. I mean, he may have come, you know, his roots from there, but he definitely became his own. The question for you is, do we think we'll you know, at this point with this friendship, which by the way, Matt will be at the Southern Honor show.
He's been in the past few kind of healing it up a little bit as Action CEO, and this whole real IWTV champion versus you know, kind of thing as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he'll be in Rico's corner, but with that said, it's like with the hierarchy not being part of the
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Huh.
Will there ever be a day where
that's the fences that is the real question about, will it be mended? You know?
Yeah.
That remains to be seen, I guess. Yeah,
currently the hierarchy, your Southern Honor tag team champions.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I think.
It's Murder and Joe, right?
Yeah. Although, you know, Kenway has returned.
That's true. Kenway has ties with them, and he's been wrestling at Southern Honor as well. Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, they're champions so much. I see the poster here, and I see that they have titles, but the end game, who are they are facing, also has titles. So I'm more confused now.
Well, I know that the hierarchy wrestles at some other place in Georgia. I think place I want to say IWE that runs out like in on the east coast of Georgia. Yeah.
So that could be it.
Out on that side of what's the city where they host the Masters?
Don't know.
Okay. It's pretty much over at the east coast there of the state.
Gotcha.
What else? Oh, so I didn't realize. Well, I guess I kind of half realized, but GCW will be back in Atlanta this Saturday. The big thing that I did not realize that Maki fucking Ito will be on the card. So I have no choice but to make my appearance and finally meet face to face. And simp as hard as I can for the fired idol, the cutest in the world, Maki Ito. So I will be there on Saturday. At center stage, even though it's a shitty wrestling venue, we'll be back there at center stage for GCW.
Yeah, for GCW C or No
is the name. That's the name of the show. Yeah, C or No. Yeah.
You get
and then I'll get a six-man tag team
action.
Yeah.
Maki is gonna be teaming up with Ali Cat and Effie to make Maki dead.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. And then we'll see them all again as part of WrestleCade weekend. The Friday night show is GCW. It was just announced that Maki will be facing Kenzie Page in a singles match. I do not know if the NWA championship will be defended in that match. I guess possibly remains to be seen. I will end up seeing two GCW shows and getting two opportunities to meet Maki this month. So, hey, things are looking fucking good for November already.
I mean, you got quite a card here. I mean, Jordan Oliver has a new group called Young, Dumb, and Bros.
So that anytime somebody teams up in a six-man group, they kind of put a name combining. I think the other two guys are like something bros or whatever. And so, Young, Dumb, and Broke, of course, being Jordan Oliver's former group. I'm still amazingly surprised that he just kind of ditched Young, Dumb, and Broke when GCW came calling. Well, I still think that's kind of a D-bag move.
That's because Jordan Oliver's no longer broke, bro.
I guess. I mean, but he could, you know, whatever happened to your bros? Why didn't you try to bring them up with you? You know, because then they kind of stayed as Young, Dumb, and Broke as a trio and kind of brought another fourth for a little bit, and then they just kind of fizzled out. I saw something where maybe it's another GCW show where where Griffin McCoy and Ellis Taylor are there, but they're not together, and they didn't reference anything about Young, Dumb, and Broke.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, I mean, it seemed like a good gimmick. It seemed like a good thing that was very different. And the four of them, and it seemed like something they could, I felt they could eventually start taking a lot of places. And, you know, but, you know, I mean, Oliver was kind of the, what was kind of the leader-ish. You know, he was the one that everybody kind of pegged as the star, and unfortunately for the rest of the group, when that first star came calling, he, they kind of, you know, they kind of got left out in the cold.
Yeah. Fun show you got here. Joey Janela versus Jacob Fatu.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing Jacob Fatu now that he's, a little more free, right? Didn't both him and Inouye leave MLW recently, the last week or two?
No, it wasn't Jacob Fatu. No.
It wasn't Jacob. Well, I know it was Inouye and somebody else, right?
It was us, Inouye and Juicy.
Oh, okay. Juicy for now. Okay. Yeah. Okay, it was Juicy and Inouye. Okay. And also, still Hammerstone is now saying that he wants out of his MLW contract. I haven't heard if they released him or not. But
not yet, but I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second year crew, one called Manders and Mance Warner versus Aleph Collin and Gabe Kiss. So get ready to
Yeah, the War Dogs. The heavyweight War Dogs, yeah. Bullet Club War Dogs. I'm actually kind of excited to see them. I like Kidd and Coughlin as a duo. You know, both LA Dojo, New Japan LA Dojo guys. But Kidd was kind of one of those weird ones who had wrestled on the UK scene for nearly 10 years before deciding to kind of, you know, try an opportunity at New Japan. And the opportunity they gave him was to go to the dojo system and start at the bottom again. And, I mean, it seemingly worked very well for him. I mean, it worked very well for Juice Robinson. You know, Juice was, you know, someone who had already had wrestling experience and television experience and kind of been establishing himself. And he opted, you know, when they gave him this, you know, they said, hey, we'll bring you in, but it's got to be to the dojo system. Mm. And you got to do it the full way. Juice was more than happy to do that. And, you know, Juice has made success out of it. I mean, he's wrestling now on an international television company once again. So, you know, I like Kidd and Coughlin as a duo. You know, they're one of the people that I'm excited to see there as well.
Your main event for the GCW World Title, Blake Christian versus Tank.
Yeah, that's a little wild too. Yeah, and then of course you got Mike Bailey's on the show. I mean, Mike Bailey's the guy. Anytime I see his name on a card, it doesn't matter who he's competing against, I know it's going to be a really good match. To me, he's definitely kind of one of the big standouts on the scene right now, not just because, like, oh, he's a cool name and you'll get to see him do his spots, but, like, you know it's going to be a good match between competitors, regardless of who he's in there with.
And this time he's facing off against Santana Jackson, so you might see the moonwalk.
Probably. I mean, that's kind of that one guy's spot, right? I don't think I've seen anything else from him apart from, you know, doing some Michael Jackson dance moves in the moonwalk.
Yeah, pretty much. So lots of wrestling, both in Atlanta and the Indies, and all over the world are happening this weekend. So lots to talk, give us lots to talk next week. Can't wait. But yeah, that's it for the show tonight. Make sure you subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, and everywhere else you hear podcasts. Check us out all the X at FOW Radio. Danny's on X at Danny F and Danger. Mika's on X at Mika Villas. Eric's on X at EJ423X. I'm on X at Yellowman PA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.